I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Water Wastewater Committee of the Town of Discovery Bay. Could I get roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken. I'll let the record reflect that all members are present.
Fantastic. Okay, this is the time for public comment. If there's anybody that is on the phone or in the room that would like to speak to anything that is not on the agenda, this would be the time for you to do that. Is there any public comment? Is there anybody?
No, I just wanted to know Mike Urraca's on the phone.
Mike Urraca, how the heck are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir. Glad to have you. Any other comment? Any great public comment? We'll accept that and we'll take that into consideration, sir. And is there anybody there else that would like to speak that might be on the phone call? Hearing none of the recommendation of the president from yesterday, I will close public comments. I forgot to close. And I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes as published.
I motion to accept minutes as published.
And I will second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I will now turn the meeting over to staff for water and wastewater update. Do we have one?
We have no update.
No update. The water and the wastewater is flowing. Discussion items, I will invite staff to come up and address item one, the vac truck.
Afternoon.
Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Or afternoon.
Good.
Just kidding. It's morning somewhere.
Morning. So I'm just giving a quick update on the vac truck search. We're in the need of a new vac truck for a upgrade or update to our current one due to the emission systems on it. The search right now is continuing. We're working with Bone Equipment, Jack Doheny, and we have Weco Industries coming out tomorrow to show us one of theirs. These three companies are the really only company we've had contact with. Through Jack Doheny, they're local, they're in Antioch. And they seem to be really eager to work with us. They've been really responsive with multiples of their trucks. Bone Equipment, I believe, is up in Fairfield.
Yeah.
I've only seen one of their trucks personally. That truck is still for sale. It's one of their demo units. I think it's going for about $460,000.
What's the model year on that one?
It's a 2020. It has 8,000 miles and about 255 hours.
Have we gotten quotes from any of the other vendors yet?
A few quotes from Jack Doheny. One of those quotes was for $395,000, but that truck has since sold. It's a 2019 Vector. It's a smaller rig than the one from Bode Equipment. It has a larger capacity, it can hold 1,500 gallons, and it has a 15-yard degree tank, whereas the Owen only had a 1,300 and a 12-yard degree tank. And it's a much heavier truck, but that doesn't mean you can carry more because you hit that weight limit.
Yep, got bridge law.
Yep.
I feel so inadequate. I feel so inadequate when the director here next to me knows more about trucks than I do.
The next vehicle that we looked at from Jack Doheny, they offered, we just got an email in just, I think, yesterday, a 2019 Vector. It's a Kenworth 1,500-gallon water tank, 1,500-yard debris, or 15-yard debris. That one has 10,000 miles on it. It has 2,000 hours.
Wow. Ooh, that's a lot of hours.
I knew that.
Is it a demo or is it used?
That's a used model.
And so is there any warranty on it? I would think after those hours, there's probably no warranty left on it.
I don't have much information on the warranty as I believe it's a 1 year. I'm not 100% sure.
What's the engine on it, Cummins? Or is it a Packard
engine? It's a Kenworth.
Yeah, so it's probably 2 year, 250,000 miles. But am pretty sure, not 100% sure that there's, but it has an hour limitation on it. So you would,
that covers the engine and the transmission. That's not going to cover the equipment on the frame.
Depends on what the transmission is. Because if it's an Allison transmission, it has a 5 year, I think 5 year, 750, 5 year, 500,000. Typically their bumper to bumper is 1 year, 100. But you can take the mileage on it. So if it's 2,000 hours.
Can I make a suggestion? That you now kind of know what kind of questions you're going to be asked the next time you bring the presentation to us for approval.
No, that's fine.
No, I know, but it's great, but you may want to work. You two may want to get together offline and do a little coaching or a little. Ashley's, since she's what she does for a living, may help you to ask the right questions, and then I think we'll get good guidance from her also to the rest of the board when the decision starts to type of equipment, manufacturer, warranty, hours, and even if it's cheaper, it may not be the best buy in the long run. And I think that we should.
I guess my only hesitancy and I guess my only guidance at this point would be take a look at what they have manufacturing across the board for every OEM and probably majority of body companies. If it's on the ground, it's going to go quick. If it's not on the ground and it's something we're going to have to order out, we're probably looking next year this time. So 2022, maybe longer. So if we're going up against compliance issues with CARB, I would say look what they have on the ground, ask them to search their resources outside of the Bay Area to see what we can do and go from there, because there's a lot of issues with that right now.
This one truck that just came over is actually not even in the state.
Yeah.
It's in Michigan. And it is compliant with California, but that's because they're doing extensive search on fleet that they're looking to sell.
And it's a 2019, so you're probably okay anything that's realistically 2013 and above, 2014 and above, but you're going to start running into hour issues. The other thing to maybe ask them is if they have any other contracts with other cities or counties or stuff like that that they're producing that they may not be fulfilling the entire order for that we could piggyback on.
Okay, that's a good question.
Yeah.
You got anything else for us, bud?
No, we're having Weco Industries come out with their demo model tomorrow. That's, I think, going to be a pretty...
What's the name of the company?
Weco Industries. They're out of Vacaville.
What demo are they bringing?
Something called a GapVex.
Yeah, GapVex. What's the chassis on it?
Not quite sure on the chassis, but I don't know much about this truck they're bringing out. I think it's going to be an MC1510. To that extent. I haven't seen one of these trucks yet.
Do you know what year or anything it is?
I know nothing about
okay.
This is their demo. This isn't.
So how soon do we need to make it? Where are we in the process, and how soon do we make a decision, and how soon do we need a truck? I mean, is it urgent?
We need a truck probably within a year.
Because what's the model year that we're at right now?
08.
Yeah, so you're going to carb out here pretty soon.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, we're under a mandate from the state to replace this. Okay.
Is there, so here's another question. Have we looked into maybe, because we have low usage of it, correct?
How many hours is on our truck?
I don't have the hours, but it has 12,000 miles. And the hours are not accurate to that truck because it was before they put hours on that truck.
Yeah. Oh. You may want to look into seeing if we can, to buy a little bit of time, register as low usage. So it's still kind of technically compliant. I'm not as familiar with what that looks like, but I know that there's some of those that we can do.
I'm not 100% on that.
I don't know what the requirements are.
We already have the extension because we're a government agency. We're already past what they
We might have been used the longest extension they gave us.
Yeah.
No, I think I know that they have some low usage stuff that extends out to like 2023, 2024, but I don't know what model years is and what the requirements and the reporting is on it.
There's something for you to research.
Yeah.
Truckars. Go to the Truckars website, and they have some really good resources there.
Will do.
Sorry. Anything else?
I geeked out.
I just have a few more quotes coming in from Jack Doheny that I currently do not have because they're researching that stuff.
Okay.
Awesome.
So if it gets to the point where you kind of like going, hey, we may not get this chance again, and we need to act fast, just get together with Mike, and he'll figure out how to get that to us as a board so we can get it approved.
Can we maybe make a suggestion or recommendation to say, hey, we'd approve up to this amount, so it's already on the books? I mean, we're looking at pricing right now. You're looking at $395, $460. My guess is it's probably going to fall within that price range. I may be out of line here.
Well, yeah, I don't think so.
The truck, you're going to have the licensing, the registration, the taxes.
Yeah, are we exempt on the licensing? Are we an exempt agency?
No.
So you're probably looking...
Registration, I don't think we pay for, but the licensing, we do. We pay the sales tax and everything else.
So you're not paying... Do we pay FET?
No.
No, and if it's used or a demo, you wouldn't. If it's a demo, you pay FET, but if it's used, you wouldn't.
Okay.
So you're probably looking at, in general, probably sales tax, probably an additional $15,000. And then registration, you're probably looking at, let's say, $4,500 on the high side.
Okay. That's...
That gives you kind of an approximate.
Yeah.
Mike, did you have some input?
I was just in response to your... We actually have this in the next fiscal year budget, so being sensitive to exactly what Director Porter said regarding it could take a year to get something here by this time. We are actively involved. We'd like to make a choice. I think there's still time to take it to a board meeting to get approval.
Right.
To do a purchase, we have...
At the preliminary budget number for next year is $600,000.
Okay. Yeah, that's we'll fall number. Well within that. Okay.
So. Yeah. And I'm... if you have questions or would like me to help you take a look at specs, I love doing that stuff. I would be happy to do it. Feel free. I know sometimes I'm kind of crazy. And
I was looking to gather a lot of this information and take your brain through all the quotes and stuff.
Yeah, let's
see which one stood out.
I can probably spend some time with you this week, next week,
okay.
And looking at them. I would ask them the questions about availability because I know stuff is like, we can't keep stuff in stock, so I'm assuming they're probably the same way.
Yes.
That would be my only concern, is that once the supply chain starts to fill up a little bit, things are going to go like crazy.
Especially as we start meeting mandatory deadlines.
Well, you're also, to be fair, there's huge manufacturing issues right now. So these trucks have a ton of sensors on them. They have a ton of, ECU units. Like, I have trucks right now that are sitting in float waiting for level sensors and it's out of stock for months. So that even though they may give us a year, it may be longer than that. And I think we need to be aware of that.
So I have a question for Director Porter, since you deal with cities all the time. Is this something we would try to sole source when we make a decision, or is this got to go to an RFP? Because that could take some time.
So you have some options. There's contractual purchasing. So like a Sourcewell is one of those agencies. I'm pretty almost 99% sure, like Owens Equipment has a Sourcewell contract that they work off of. It's probably with Vacar, the body manufacturing. Most of the body manufacturers have a Sourcewell contract. I would say also on some of these other chassis, they have Sourcewell contracts.
What's a Sourcewell contract?
Sourcewell is contractual bidding. So basically, Sourcewell has gone out and said, okay, these are the bids that we have. These are the type of trucks that we need. Or you can use it for schools. You can use it for whatever, for products. And they do the research. They do the bid process.
Collective.
Yeah, collective.
So that conforms to our need to have bidding for the project, or
so it does, because they've already done that.
Okay, very good.
We have to be members of that. Again, if you need help, let me know.
I would definitely reach out to you on that.
Single source stuff would be based on what our needs are, and we can talk about
and
that
sense
offline.
Of urgency too.
Mm.
Not a factor.
We'll talk about it offline. I'm happy to walk you through what that looks like. Look into the piggyback stuff, because that's the other thing. A lot of times, like the counties, the cities, some of the other municipalities will do, like Caltrans will do a bid and say, well, we may have additional trucks that we need to add on to it, and you could piggyback onto that. But you would have to do those specs that they have for that, and that agreed pricing.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Yep. Nope, I got it.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate
thank
it. Thank you, Director Porter, for your input. Item 2. which is a review of
district strategy,
our future new development guidelines or something like that. Greg Harris, how you doing?
So you're aware that the Kikini Ranch property is part of the district. You're aware that the Kikini Ranch property has approached the district and wants to receive water and wastewater services and develop in Discovery Bay.
Correct.
And initially we kind of started down a path of let's figure out what's going to take and let's do some things. And it's kind of new to the district. The last big time developer for a lot of lots was Hoffman. He built it before everybody else was here. Now we have everybody else here, and now we have a new developer show up.
Right.
Outside of our current planning area, outside of the master plan for the wastewater facility.
Sure.
So initially, they executed an agreement with the town to let the town hire engineers to kind of figure out what it's going to take to accommodate their development. And we kind of started off a path, you know. So I started down a path, but the more I walked down that path, the more I realized, hey, there's all these questions about what the town policy is or what they care about. Not just what does the developer want, something as cheap as possible, but what does the town mean? And I realized that we hadn't really addressed those issues. And until we addressed those issues, I don't know what to design or what to plan for or what to come up with if possible, you know, kind of thing. So we've had several meetings at staff level. We even talked about this a month ago and brought up a plan. What's our plan going to be? So our plan is we met with staff and we talked over several meetings, what should we do? And what is the plan? Okay, we got to figure out something. So we wanted to come up with what is called a strategic approach to how we deal with essentially Jakini, but other, you know, the next round of looking at properties that are outside the current planning area. So if you're in the current planning area, that current planning area is in the master plan, and even though we have undeveloped lots in Discovery Bay, they've been included, right? So if they're in the district boundary and it's a blank lot, it's in the master plan.
Sure.
Yeah.
They're in the boundary. Now we have lots outside the boundary
sure.
that weren't included. What's our going to approach to be? What's our strategic approach to how we deal with them, including what's the town goals? So what we came up with was a sort of strategy outline, and I wanted to review those items with you and then sort of get concurrence or comment from you about our strategy outline and approach, because then we have clear direction when we talk to Jakini's development team where we stand in terms of board input and, yeah, this is a good idea, no, that's not a good idea. So on the second page, or this first page of staff report and executive summary, we have a strategy outline. And I want to go through these items one by one. And you guys with me here on this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, give me a second. I'm not there yet.
Right.
Sorry. What am I missing?
E2. You just go four more pages. Two more pages. It'll be there.
There it is. Thank you. Sorry. I went too far.
No problem. I distracted you with a pretty drawing.
I know that. You did. You really did. Shiny objects.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you do the rest report and pictures, please?
All right. So this is a pretty drawing. Okay. So what I would like to do is take a few minutes and just discuss these outline items with you.
So would I.
And get input on those. And then we'll have direction from the wastewater committee about how we're going to approach our interactions with the Jakini development team and others. There's a few other properties floating around and what we're going to plan for.
Before we go any further,
yes.
I neglected to ask if there was any public comment on the back truck discussion. Great. Sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
No problem. Okay. So with that said, if you look at strategy outline here on the executive summary, staff developed the following strategy to evaluate sewer services. It's primarily focused on sewer. Water is just simpler, but some of these apply to the water as well. But I'm not a water engineer, I'm a wastewater engineer, so I'm talking sewer. But in talking to the water group, their issues are just a lot simpler than ours. And so they don't have such a formal line.
Probably not as much advanced planning either.
Right, yeah, exactly. Okay, so the first thing is plant one will not be put back in service. A new facility, future growth installed at plant number two. So.
Well, that's a, that's news to me.
That's why we're bringing it up. So, you'll recall, we made the vote to move plant one to build the fourth oxidation digit plant number two. What we said was, hey, let Jacquini rebuild plant one. Why should you take the risk of that? Let them rebuild plant one, right? Now the question is, okay, someone's got to rebuild something in plant one. If we expand, if we don't expand, you're done, right? If Jacquini goes away, you're done. You moved it. We're going to get the bids next Tuesday. You'll pay your money. We're done.
We've got plenty of redundancy, capacity, and everything else.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. However, if you want to expand, then the question does beg, where would we expand to? So the district bought the bullet, moved over to plant two. You're going to pay the dollars for that next Tuesday. And you have your process. You have your okay. So now the question is, in talking with the group staff, the idea was, okay, if we're going to expand something, I need to know where are we going to expand it. You know, so the cheapest thing for the developer is a pipe straight across the canal right into plant one. Let them rehab plant one. The more expensive thing is to expand to plant two, but there's better operations if it's all in one location versus going across Highway 4. And it's not minor, because if you've ever tried to leave the plant at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you sit there for about 5 minutes.
No, I have some input on that one.
Right across the road. So this is, obviously, we have a couple more on the next page. Right?
So if
seven big kind of strategic goals. And this is one of the bigger ones.
Okay, because I was one that way back when has kind of fought. It's kind of dumb, but I've kind of fought for plant one. I kind of said, okay, we need to remember we need to rehab this. Veolia at the time wasn't properly. They probably weren't executing it. I felt like we had a big investment there that we were abandoning, and we shouldn't. But we have abandoned it. And we, as a district, existing district, are paying big money to make that decision. Therefore, I look at that strategy as being the new strategy. And we're not looking for, I'm not trying to make anybody pay any more than they have to rightly leak for cost. So it's not a cost factor necessarily. It's more about what it's going to be for this town to maintain that going forward. What it's going to be to save the town money in contractual agreements to have that all centrally located in one place, because, and even if that's all brand new stuff at plant one, it still is going to be more expensive, and it's still almost a second remote location. Well, it definitely is a second remote location. I don't care if it's 100 yards or 100 miles, it's a remote location. And so I think if we're biting the bullet at this point to consolidate and bring everything in one area, and based on the fact that we don't have to purchase land to do this because we have land over there, I think that that's the right decision.
I agree.
Okay. All right. I'll put a check.
But that leads
work,
me. Oh,
work smart, not expensive.
But there's other issues involved that I want to make sure we're clear on and to get on the record too. And that is that we've not had a single smell complaint from the country club since Plant One's been closed. It's in close proximity to existing homes, and it will be in close proximity to new homes. And I think that it would be unwise of us to be involved in providing something where if somebody comes in and buys a new home and they're complaining back to us right away because there's sewage treatment smells. Even though to me they aren't, it's not like your head's in the ox ditch, but I even get wafting of it even from plant two in the condos sometimes, if the wind's blowing the right way. So, because I can identify it, I know what it is. And I think that's a genuine concern also, is to what's fair to the public and what's there. And I think that is not only a secondary, that's almost a second primary issue, is what would happen with reopening that at a higher volume. And I just don't think, but on a related question, would there be no use for the waste? Forget it. Move on.
All right, Number two, we're going to build a standard size module. So like a developer come to me and say, well, technically, Greg, I only need a half of one of those. And you want to build a full size one of those. But I don't want to pay for half of one, right? You know, so what's important about that is we're not going to Mickey Mouse a plant together to accommodate one specific developer. We have to build a span in a logical manner.
They don't come in halves.
Yeah, you know, so...
Well, is there any logical... Is there any large logical argument for a 50% sized ox ditch?
Well, let's put it this way. They exist in the world. You know, ours is a million gallons. I've been to little tiny plants where they have a $100,000 ox ditch and you can run around, you know.
But that's not what we
are. That ain't what we are. And the real thing is when you get into process redundancy, one process backs up another process, they need to be the same size.
You know,
a small one can't back up a big one.
No, because here's the problem. Then we would be using our redundancy to complement the lack of
their
investment by them. Okay.
All right. So that brings us right into number three. You picked up on that right away. So we have a redundant ox ditch, right? If they build at plant one, they can put in one oxidation ditch and handle all their flow, but they don't have a redundant oxidation ditch. But there really isn't a reason to build a redundant oxidation ditch. You still only need one redundant oxidation ditch if it's all at the same location.
Right.
But they're benefiting from you having built it.
Right.
So even though they didn't pay cash for it, we need to back end charge them for essentially usury of stuff we've already built that they get the benefit of.
So we're basically back in charging them for infrastructure that was already there.
Right. That they get
that's supporting.
That's supporting new infrastructure
supporting
to support
the
their.
That's right. And the biggest one is obviously redundancy, right? You know, I've got two of everything on plant two right now. Want to come back up the other one. They bring in a third one. Well, I can back you up too. But they didn't have to build two of everything.
Right.
They only had to build one.
Yeah. So they didn't have to buy two ox ditches to put theirs out of service for maintenance.
Right.
Because we've already done that.
Correct. Yes.
And it's going to have to go out of service for maintenance.
Yeah. That's right. Everything needs to get maintained.
And I guess the argument would be if they were to come into this fresh, they would have had to build that anyways.
We'd have made it build two. It's even worse. We'd have made it build two from scratch versus you guys are sharing one, so at least you can do a shared cost thing. So what I'm proposing
is...
They're getting a good deal. But we'll let Allison, who's doing the rate capacity study, what's the name of your company?
Lahovitz and Sink.
We'll let her work out how much they pay. We'll come up with what the usage is. But it actually saves them money, but it also fairly reimburses the town for already having paid for something they're going to want use of.
Does she come? We know Allison, right? She does work. So do they come up with this just by crunching numbers, basically?
Yeah, they come to me and say, well, who's using what percentage of it, how much of the time, and one thing, and then they come back to what they previously developed in rate studies and apportion.
Okay, so it's historical data and new data they combine together to come up with a fair cost.
Yes.
Okay.
I have another quick question. Yeah. So we're backing in charges of existing infrastructure, but is there additional cost to maintaining that being utilized at a higher capacity than what it was originally designated for?
It's a good point, and it's actually not on the list. Who's going to pay the additional maintenance cost of all the new stuff that's built? And then you could add in the subset of that running more stuff through our existing infrastructure too, right? You know what I'm saying? Working the influent pump station harder, for instance, or doing those kinds of things. It's a good point.
Would we have...
I think that is falling onto the landowners at that point because you have an O&M fee that's charged.
Hey, Gregory.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, those additional customers coming in will provide additional revenue for the additional maintenance cost from their sewer fees. And then that other charge is called a buy-in charge. That's typically what we call when developers come in and they buy into existing capacity. So that's typically how that's handled, is a buy-in charge.
So they do upfront pay a bit for that service.
For the buying in of
existing
operations and maintenance.
Okay.
The existing.
Okay. Does that help?
Yeah, that helps. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Interrupt any time. Seriously, I didn't mean that facetiously. I meant that seriously. It didn't sound like it, but
I'm just right. Yep. I'll just be polite and wait for the right moment.
Okay. He's gonna pounce.
But I have a question. boy, this just gets complicated. I'm glad you're doing this. Right. I'm only thinking about the processing part that I can really see, right, from a visual point of view. But do we have the capacity in the filters, the UV, and the headworks to pump the capacity that you're going to add? Do we have capacity built into those products? They do all have to be modified.
Is that accounted for in this
plan?
They do not. They were sized for your existing service area. And this is a pretty substantial expansion. In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. But that's the whole point of me doing this.
Like, do we have to put another row of UV lights in? Or?
Yes.
Oh, see?
All right, so.
There you go.
I'm thinking, man.
It's part of the plan that we haven't let him get to yet. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's all good. But the whole point is, we're trying to sit down and study it. And then realizing I need the rules of the road here before we try and study it.
Sure.
I need to know what's in bounds, what's in play, and what's not in play.
Sure.
That's what we're trying to get to.
Okay, so where were you when we interrupted you last?
So 1, 2, and 3 we checked off, and 3 is the buy-in charge that Mike was talking about.
Okay.
Buy-in.
Okay.
So 4, and this is important, all studies, analysis, evaluate future development should be paid for by future development. So
of course.
We're doing, like, we're huddling heads up over here, you're paying my time. If you have a small reimbursement agreement with Cicchini, I believe, right?
Yes, we do.
To reimburse the town for the time that I'm spending on some of this stuff right now. But there's some other studies that are going to be needed, and we're going to get into that in a minute. And we think it should be the firm position. You don't have to do anything. Like, if you're done, the master plan's done, if you stick to your existing service boundary, you don't have to study anything. You're done. You're paid for all those studies already. Anything, anybody getting anybody in outside the boundary, outside of your current boundary, needs to be paid for by them. It's purely 100% for them. And so what's important about that, though, is we think that there are some planning, bigger picture planning studies that need to be done, not just Cicchini, but there are some other parcels that are light outside. And we think if you're going to stop and analyze something, you should analyze what your next reasonably known future is. Which is maybe Cicchini, maybe these other parcels that approached you. I have a map. Did I get you a map?
You gave us pictures.
Yeah, you got a picture, yeah. Yeah. We're going over that.
Yeah. Let me.
So the question then begs, we're going to wait for them to execute agreements. We're going to wait for them to agree, or we're just not going to do it, right? So, for instance, reclaimed water is a topic that's going to come up. We need to figure out how to use the reclaimed water for state law, but also because, water is an issue with the drought, stuff like that. Technically, we've never done a study on that. There's never been a formal, how are we going to use reclaimed water in Discovery Bay? Is the treatment plant water suitable? For what plants is it suitable? What could it be used for? Where can it go real practically? Where can we pump it to? Right?
Mm-hmm.
We've told them, hey, Cicchini, you need to take reclaimed water across there, but there's no formal study done. That's outside of what am I treating a treatment plant. That's like, what am I going to do with the water once I make it, right?
Which is not a subject matter that we've addressed within the district yet.
Yeah,
we've talked about it, but we've never addressed it.
But now it is the point where, okay, we're all saying someone's got to use the water. You got to have a plan. You can't
right.
just throw pipes across the road and not know what you're doing. So the question would be, who pays for that plan? We think that developers pay for that plan.
It's
our position. And I guess that would be our position until they push back and come to you at the board meeting and say no.
I was just going to ask, do you think that there will be pushback on that? And what? How much?
I don't know. Because we have...
Here's my stand on my perspective of that, and that is when all the stuff that's built now was built... There was no mandated reclaimed water usage. So, of course, it's not part of the plan we have. We didn't neglect doing it. It wasn't required.
Right.
Now you're developing in this era and this time, and the state's telling you you got to do it.
Yeah.
That's on you. That's when you're developing. If you would have developed here 30 years ago, you too wouldn't have had to do this.
Right. Yeah.
But you're developing it now.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Greg, I have one other thing, though. We're spending staff time.
Are we reimbursed for that?
Yeah, we're spending staff time. Are we able to bill them for our staff time that's on these meetings and such, or just our consulting time? because
our staff time has been coded his time, but any staff time that requires staff investment in this is reimbursable.
That is included in our reimbursable agreement with them.
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right. Because I mean, otherwise we're robbing the current ratepayers of Dina's time or Julie's time or Aaron's time when they should be working on what they're being.
All associated work by staff, engineers.
Okay, whatever, thank you. It just brought it to mind when you said it. That's all.
Okay. All right. So 4, we're gonna put check. All right. So 5 is recycled water plan, and we're saying it needs to be integrated into the future developments. That's a requirement under state law to address that. But that means someone's got to do a plan. Someone's got to do a plan. You know, we got to identify a map. We got to say these are the likely places it'll go. We got to look at the water quality at the plant. We got to look at where we're going to use that water. Does it make sense? For instance, recycled water sometimes is not good for golf courses because the grass is re-specialized. We have high salinity in our water, right? So you put high salinity water on a golf course, kills the grass, right? So the PGA came up with special grass that could tolerate high salinity water, you know, things like that were developed to try and use recycled water.
For future golf courses, but right. Not on existing golf
Correct.
Courses.
Right, but that also means, like if they have a play field and you want to use recycled water on that play field, and, you know, our water has high TDS, which it does, right? Then, you know, that's got to be compatible, and that means someone's got to do a study so that you don't just get to the end of the day, you pipe the pipe somewhere, and you killed everything, and everyone turned it off, and you were done, right? You know, the right thing. So the big question is, what we're recommending is that a feasibility study be done on recycled water use, specifically, consultant hired, a report written, and a decision made about what's practical, so planning can be done, cost can be developed.
Yeah, I think that opens up a huge can of worms, if you pardon the expression, from the standpoint that if it's state mandated, and yet we don't know where we're going to use it, or if we can't find a place to use it. So there's a whole lot of questions that surround that whole thing. So I do agree that there should be a feasibility study, but I don't want to delve into this at this point because we don't really know what we're talking about. Because you're sitting here telling me you can't use it for landscaping, yet that's what they're mandating we use it for. I mean, if we're going to use it to kill all the plants, we might as well just go buy Roundup, and then we all can, you know, join in the lawsuit, you know?
It is true. We have our water.
Did I say that on the record?
Yeah,
wastewater has high salinity in it because the salinity concentrates in the wastewater from all the homes. It has extra high salinity because there's a big portion of homes that still have water softeners in Discovery Bay. We also have high boron in our water because of our groundwater. All our sources of groundwater has high boron in it. So there are plants that don't tolerate hard boron, and there are plants that don't tolerate high salinity. And, you know, it could be that we just can't use the water.
This is the discussion I don't want to get into right now because I have all kinds of questions.
I have a question about, so are we saying if and when a developer comes in, we're going to request that they pay for this feasibility study? Are you saying we as a town or as a water district need to pay for a feasibility study just in case a developer comes in? I got lost somewhere in that.
What I'm saying is we need to tell Chiquini we want you to pay for a Richmond Water feasibility study.
Right. And
if they don't, then we tell Chiquini
then it's a null and void issue.
We're not, that's part of development, and, you know, when you're ready to develop, let us know. In the meantime,
based on state guidelines of water usage and reclaiming. I mean, it's not like we're making this up for our own benefit.
Yes.
But we don't need to do that right now because we have no contracts with them.
But we need to do it
before they build the new project.
Understood.
Asking us to figure this stuff out for them. What I want to do is come back to them and say, okay, I figured out we need a feasibility study and you need to pay for it. That's what I want.
And so you're asking for us to say, yes, we agree with you.
Yes.
Charge them.
This is the but-for test. If we undertake something that costs the towns an expense, and but for this development, we would not have had to pay this expense. That development should pay for it.
And that's what it is, because we're not under any
contract mandate
at this point to reclaim water, but future developments are under a mandate to build that into their thing.
Yes.
And that is, again, it goes back to that. If you would have built it 30 years ago, you wouldn't have to do this either.
Right.
But for you wanting to put in this plan.
Right. We wouldn't have to, but for. Exactly. Okay.
All right.
So, yes, we agree.
All right. So, we agree that we should ask them to pay for it as part of their development package.
Yes. And a reasonable, I mean, at a cost that you've evaluated, and it's going to get everything that we need done.
We're not making
right?
money on this thing. We're just not spending money on it.
Yeah.
That's all.
We're just not spending money on it. Exactly.
Perfect.
All right. So the next one is an important, very important item. It's just as important as number one. And that is, traditionally, when Discovery Bay was originally first built, the developer put forth all the money, physically built the facilities, and they gave them to the district and informed the district. So that's how Plant 1 and 2 got built.
Oh, boy.
Since then, the district has floated bonds, built capacity, developed a capacity fee study. So any infill lot that comes along just pays a capacity fee, and they're in. You know, you've already built it. You floated bonds, you built it. The district also took the risk that if they never developed that lot, you never get that money. You never get paid back if they never developed that. Now we have, when that's a couple infill lots, not a big deal. You're a big district, a couple infill lots, not a big deal. Flip that around. 2,500 lots needed. $30 million in bonds need to get floated. And then they bankrupt halfway through it after you floated your bonds and built your treatment plant, and they never sell the lots. Their existing ratepayers are on the hook for all that, right? So in this instance, what we're saying is, you, developer, are going to have to go first. You float bonds on your own. You pay for it. You build it. Then we'll take it. So that if you go banco halfway through, that's between you and the bankers. That isn't between the town. You know, you go build a $30 million treatment plant, and then you don't sell your lots, or you don't sell enough homes, or you quit halfway through it, who owns the facility and who paid for the facility? The developer paid for it. The risk is on him. But you're going to build it the way we tell you to build it. We're going to design it still, but in terms of who writes the check to build it and who takes on the bonding to get it going, it's going to be the developer, not the tech.
Well, that to me is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, that just makes sense.
Well, for smaller developments, it's flipped, right? You
know, well, but see, the smaller developments,
I
don't want to say we got lucky, but everybody fulfilled their obligation in the long run. Every lot was built on.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say we got lucky. I just want to say, hey, the plan worked. It wasn't a foolproof plan, but because the economy's been good and because California is California, it worked.
Right.
But this is a huge risk.
But this is different.
Yeah.
We're no longer just filling in.
Yeah.
This is a whole new deal. Yeah, no, I mean, that to me is a no-brainer. I mean, it almost, like, doesn't even need explanation.
So is there any, like, anything put into there if they do go belly up, they haven't finished those plants, it's on our land, what happens then?
Construction would not start unless they have
it was completely paid for. Okay.
They have to back up those bonds however they want, usually against their own land values and stuff like that. It's the same way they build their streets and sewers.
Okay.
Right. The same way they build their streets, they get a bond based against the value of the land, go build that, because, you know, even to build a road is expensive, right?
Yeah.
So the road and the sewer on their own property is still expensive. They float loans against their own property until they get the houses built, you know, and that's the standard of MO.
And the sooner they build the homes, the less interest they pay on the loans, and it's more profitable, the development becomes.
Yeah.
And then when you hit, then 2008 hits, and they stop putting sticks up, and developers go bankrupt.
But we're not going to turn dirt to Plant 1 unless it's paid for, cash in the bank, bond done.
Well,
Plant 2, not Plant 1.
That should almost be number one. and it's fundamentally, there's no other way to look at it. I mean, that's just like...
And by the way, that's how Hoffman did it. Hoffman did that first.
He built it.
He built it. He paid for it.
He put all the money into it.
The district hired the consultant to design it.
Right.
We inspected it. We designed it. Hoffman paid the checks. When it was all done, Hoffman turned over to the district and said, it's built. Here you go.
Right.
That's how it works.
I agree with Kevin that 7 should be 1.
I don't think number 1.
Remember, Gregory's only talking about wastewater. So it is a huge, huge investment for that to come in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it is...
So this strategy works for water.
They're not going to be surprised by any of this. This is all a cost of doing business that they must know about at the size of that project. So I'm not... I don't... And you know, if they want to have an, if they want to have their own consultant as part of the team that can overlook this, I'd pay your consultant to do whatever you want him to do. I don't care. I mean, this is not.
Well, one thing we're not going to do is let a chief developer consultant design a chief plan.
No. But they're welcome to
sit and listen.
Be part of the. Be, yeah. I mean, when I say be part of the team, that they have input and give perspective, but the decision's not going to be theirs.
That's right.
Hey, Kevin, could I share something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
So, you write this is a no-brainer the way Gregory is presenting it to you for the who pays for it up front. But I will tell you, there are some districts out there that will upfront the money themselves. And we're anticipating that Cicchini may say that to us. And they may say, hey, XYZ district did it over there. Why can't you do it here? And we as staff want to be able to say back to Cicchini, we discussed this with the board, and this is the way we want to go.
No, I agree with you, Mike.
I agree
but
to you,
but
Mike.
There are some real fundamental differences between probably the districts you're talking about, and that is that they're either much larger, and that area is guaranteed to be developed at some point in time anyway. We don't know that about Cicchini Ranch. If they walk, nobody may ever come in and pick it up.
And I think we have to do our due diligence.
I know. I appreciate your input. Don't be so sure that they're not going to push back, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that we're expecting them to push back on this one here. This is item number 6 in the staff report. And we, by being on the same page, the board and staff on the same page, that no, Cicchini's going to upfront the cost on this, we can in all confidence tell them, no, this is the way it's going to be because we've already got board input on it.
Perfect.
Yeah. So sometimes public entities, will make these concessions and help out these developers because there is an advantage and or a benefit that comes into that particular community, either through tax dollars or some other kind of, tit for tat, on this kind of thing. But there is no Cicchini.
No, it's not like they're giving us, 570 jobs or, what I mean?
We benefit from none of it.
Because we have no sale tax base, business tax base. So, that's what I mean. I mean, that's why Tesla built his batteries plant in Sparks, because they got a huge incentive to go up there and build it there because they were providing something for Sparks, a lot of jobs, So it doesn't work that way here. Okay, thank you, Mike.
All right, and the last one, to help them out, we can use some of our redundancy initially to get them started, because it was always like they got to build the first 100 homes before they build 2,000, right? And it's tough to build a whole treatment plant on the first 100 homes. So we work out some kind of capacity fee analysis and something. So we're not amenable to build it all or don't send us a drop your way. We're understanding that we can work with the guys, get reimbursed for those initial phases, and have them pay the big dollars.
Because we're not putting our current homeowners at risk at all with that.
Yeah, nothing happens.
We're just being a good neighbor.
Right. Yes.
Absolutely.
That's number 7.
Okay.
Okay, so the goal of this meeting was for us staff to be able to talk confidently to the Cicchini group and to proceed forth. The one thing I would like to put together is to have you look at the map on the next page.
It makes my eyes hurt.
She wants to keep going for these maps. I want to know what are these for. I want to see
so
what these
pretty.
Are for.
What are we looking at this for?
Okay.
Yes.
So on this map, you see Cicchini's property, and you see the conservation easement area that's now been put in conservation. So that's not going to be developed.
Correct.
Ever. Ironically, if they build Cicchini, that'll be an island, isolated agricultural area that will probably go into low use. I bet it gets abandoned, believe it or not. But anyway, that's agricultural. We have the wastewater treatment plant on the south side. What's important about this is the dashed line, the dashed black line, is the urban limit line. Cicchini is inside the urban limit line, but we've had a few people approach us outside the urban line. Like there was a proposed future high school across the south side of Highway 4,
mm-hmm.
a proposed shopping center. There's actually a home that's hooked up.
There was those people about 2 years ago approached us that own those homes where the eggs are,
yeah.
about bringing our sewage out there to.
Right.
Yeah.
So if there's going to be a planning-wide study to pick up Cicchini, what we're proposing is what makes sense is you throw in these other parcels as a comprehensive plan let's not just do a plan for Jacquini and then we have no plan for anybody else. If we're aware of these other people, if we do a comprehensive plan, at the moment, we would do it for the areas highlighted here, which is all the known parcels that are inside the urban line, outside the urban line, adjacent to Discovery Bay, but at some time approach Discovery Bay and said, what about us?
You answered, because I was biting my tongue, because you mentioned that early on in your thing, and I'm thinking, what's he talking about? The possibility of a future business park across the street? We're not going that far.
No.
Okay.
But you're asking to include those in the analysis for the plan.
Yeah, so basically what I'm saying is, this is our starting map for the analysis of how much wastewater flows and loads.
We've been approached by those lots across from the school, too. Are you not? You're not including.
I'm not aware of that. Did you have that? These are the ones I'm aware of. So if we want to mark up the map, we feel free to mark up the map. And the map is a draft, and we don't have to do it all today.
Do we handle the wastewater at? At what's the school down here?
Timber Point? No, the new school.
Knightson School?
That's Knightson.
Do we handle this wastewater for that?
Yeah,
do we handle the water for that?
Yes, just the school.
Just the school, I understand that. But on that court, it's on the north side.
On Learning Lane.
I have friends that own property there. And they said they came to the town at one time and asked about it.
They did. We explored it. We said we'd be happy to look into this. But they wanted to operate separate irrigation wells. And we said, no, it's either 100%
I remember that.
And they said, well, thank you anyway, we're done.
Right.
So we do the wastewater for Old River?
Elementary.
Yes.
Yes.
It was.
Even though it's in Knightson?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we do. We have a contract with them.
Okay.
Yes.
It's called an out-of-district, out-of-boundary.
Okay, let's not go any further than that then.
We can work on the map, but what is important is, we need to get a map so that we know, okay, this is what we're going to talk about. It's just Jacquini, okay, but we think it's
There's only five lots over there, and they're all five-acre lots. They can't subdivide any smaller than that, at least not at this time, without doing a redistricting of the general plan.
So that's minor things.
So I wouldn't worry about it. I just thought I'd ask.
Okay, so anyway, this is our starter draft map. It can be modified as we go along, but we have to start with something. And if we want, we can come back and just talk about the map at a future date.
Okay.
And get input on.
Are we still talking about? Okay. Are we still talking about these seven items? Is this part?
So this is the last item. Is what's the map that we're talking about? This
okay.
Is it.
Okay. So. So let me ask you this now. Going back to Mike's Uraka's point, and that is, we're coming to a consensus as a board, because we want to give you the authority to be able to say this is what's going
to
happen.
This is how we'd like to.
This is what the board is saying that they would like to have you do.
Right.
So does this now come back to the board in its entirety, or is the wastewater committee acting on behalf of the board by agreeing to this?
Yeah. We were proposing that it stops here at the Water Wastewater Committee.
If
you want to bring it back to the board, but,
well, I'm just asking whether does it need a greater authority than that? That's a Mike Davies question. Mike Davies, do we need a greater authority than?
I recommend that we advise the board. We don't have to look for a motion to approve or anything, but
okay.
To do a presentation to the board and say this is staff's recommendation as well as the recommendation of the Water and Wastewater Committee. We want to inform you that this is the direction.
Hand them a little packet with all the information in it.
Yeah.
Right? It can remain, you know, but this is our general approach unless we hear any kind of disagreement.
Okay. So that being the case, then I think that we should do that by motion within the committee.
Okay.
Just.
What am I motioning?
You're motioning to accept the strategy outlined and discussed.
Got it.
By and presented to the water waste. Oh, I'll make the motion.
Okay.
You can second.
I'll second.
I would like to make a motion that we accept the strategy outlined by our city engineer and discussed here as being items 1 through 7 with regards to negotiations with the owners of the Jacquini property.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
That's us. Any opposed? Nay. That's the most authority we can give you. I'm sorry.
New development.
Let me modify my motion.
New development outside of our current plan.
Yes.
The motion is to be modified from the Cicchini property to... New development outside of our planning area. Do you accept the modification?
Accepted, yes.
Okay, the motion carries. We good? Thank you, Greg. That was well presented.
Yeah. Thank you for thinking about us as a town and looking at that risk analysis for us.
And all the whatever staff was involved in that, I'm sure everybody had input. So thank you guys all for giving input on that. It's very important that we protect. We've asked our ratepayers for a lot of money to do a lot of stuff that's been mandated and unfunded by the state. Thank you for protecting what they're doing out there. I appreciate it. What else you got for me? Is that it for item number
two?
No, I'm lost. Okay, let me go back to the agenda.
Here, we'll leave it.
Am I in the wrong agenda?
Yeah, right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong agenda. Okay. Item two, is that complete?
Yeah.
Item three, you're still standing there. So I'm thinking that you're up next.
Poor Greg.
Discussion and provide feedback. Oh, is there any comment from anybody on the call, public comment with regards to that last discussion, item two, which is setting the strategy for moving forward with future developments outside the existing area or whatever. Any comments from anybody out there? Great. Moving on to item three, discussion, provide feedback, scope of work, BSK, which is obviously a consultant to perform some services. And go ahead, Greg.
All right, so BSK was the original geotech hired to provide geotechnical information to the design team on the unification project. And now that we're heading off into construction, they would perform the normal geotechnical services during construction, compaction testing, concrete testing, backfill, inspection, stuff like that. So this is their proposal. We reviewed it and agreed that this is a reasonable scope for the work that's entailed. And we just wanted to know if you had any input before we brought it to the general board for approval.
Move it along.
Okay. Looks good.
And now we're to my favorite 13-year discussion, the diffuser project.
Is that what the pretty pictures are for?
You get the dirty pictures.
We get pictures of the diffuser. I want to see guys in frog suits.
Right?
Okay.
All right, so a quick update on the diffuser, and I will go as fast as I can without confusing you, I hope.
Don't confuse me about a diffusing.
All right. So as you know, we have a diffuser. The purpose of the diffuser is to take our wastewater from the treatment plant and to gently mix it into the old river.
So.
And to just make the water really nice for the fish. Okay.
So I just want to make sure the director Porter was where you could start and with that. Oops, sorry.
Go
ahead.
So the top map here, if you look at the bottom left corner, the front page, you see an aerial view of our treatment plant, Discovery Bay, and Old River. So you see Discovery Bay is the nice green area, and you see the brown area there in the oxidation ditches. That's in the bottom left-hand corner of the top page.
Oh, right here, yeah.
Yep. And then you see the little star there?
Yep.
That's where the diffuser is.
Yep.
So we pump a 1 mile pipeline all the way over to there. So that's how we go from the treatment plant over to that little location there.
And then it goes into the canal?
No, then it goes
in. It used to go into the canal, but now it goes into it's a separate pipeline that goes
okay.
Goes into Los Vaqueros Dam is where
right.
it goes.
So goes down south. Now, and then there's just kind of a highlight just so you can see a little blow up of the river. The picture just to the right, the bottom picture on the right.
Yeah, what is all that?
So that's topography in the river bottom.
Okay.
Okay, but you see the canal, it's the same canal in the other picture. You see the project outflow, project location,
yep.
marker.
Yep.
That's our diffuser.
Yep.
Okay. That's and then the black structures up the road and the white roads. The roads are white, and the black structure up above is Contra Costa Water District intake. So this is where we're physically at. Just to get you oriented.
So you started the topography and ended the topography in the middle of the river?
Yes.
Okay. It looks like a poster I used to have in my wall about 1971, and I used to stare at it a lot.
Okay.
Oh, anyway, go ahead.
So turn the page, the next page.
Where's Mike? He would enjoy that.
All right.
Okay.
On the next page, this is the existing diffuser.
Got it.
Okay, so what's the diffuser? it's better to look in the bottom half of the page.
See, it falls along the bottom of the river.
We have the top of the bank on the left. We have the river on the right. We have the 100-year flood elevation shown on the line on the right. And our river diffuser is a pipe that goes above the 100-year flood line that goes down the side of the bank, sits on the bottom of the river, and it's buried in the mud on the bottom of the river. Looking up through that diffuser, we see little tiny 2-inch pipes that stick up to the bottom of the river. And they have what's called a rubber duck bill that sits on the top and acts as a check valve. It looks just like a duck bill. It opens and closes to let water out. Stops water from going backwards, lets water out. Lo and behold, this is the original design as constructed by the town about 15 years ago. Maybe 16 years ago. Some of those duck bills have broken, some of the pipes are broken, and blood has gotten into the pipe, and half this pipe, you see there's three different sizes of the pipe, there's a big section.
Yeah, as the flow reduces, it diminishes.
It's full of mud, it's packed full of mud, it doesn't work. So that's the impetus for the problem.
Oh, yeah, got
this
it.
This is our starting location, is half our pipe is full of mud, and we can't get it out, we can't get it unclean, opened up, and some of our diffusers are broken. So a report was done, we got a water engineer involved, and the report was to replace the diffuser. We've done permitting on that, and Vizian is the consultant for that. We've done permitting on that, done different things. But part of the scope now is sort of a discussion on exactly what we're going to replace it with. Okay. So initially, we got cost estimates to replace it in kind, just build exactly what you have here before. We got a cost in August of 2020 and in previous reports of $261,000 construction cost.
Time out. Because I did not know this history like you've just stated.
Right.
If what you're telling me is true, this thing only worked for about 3 years before it got clogged.
Well, we don't know when, but we know that at some point it became...
Well, I mean, we started talking about fixing this 12 years ago.
Well, not 12 years. Not quite that
one. Pretty close. When I first got on the board, we were sending frogmen down there.
Well, we did an inspection when we first got on.
Okay.
We did an inspection. Okay. It wasn't until we started seeing reduced flow at the treatment plant that we got up in our response. But it is correct.
Our first report
reporting damage, I think, was 2014.
2014. And we installed it in?
2005, I think.
And it's not very, it didn't last very long.
It did.
Oh, okay. So we're not even considering replacing it the way we built it the first time. Right,
so the direction of the board of directors, when we went out to design for this, is we'll replace it, but we want to build better so that we don't come back and have to do this again. That was the direction you provided to us.
When? Sorry.
Well, when they approved the Adisian design contract.
Probably not too long ago.
Yeah. Like
a couple years ago?
A couple years ago. Okay.
Last November or so, I think.
Yeah, it was when Bill and Bill were on the Water Wastewater Committee.
All right, so that has created a bit of a dilemma, okay, which I'm here to discuss with you today.
Oh boy.
So, what are we doing today?
This is what the existing diffuser looked like. Here. That was all good. So then we sat with the design team and we started coming up with alternative designs that might work better.
Oops, I keep
so
that
now you can turn the page.
Sorry. Put my thing there.
And the alternative design was, okay, I need a way to get the mud out of this pipe if it ever happens again. It's one thing to go down and replace the 2-inch piece of pipe that broke off. It's another thing to get all the mud out of the pipe, which has been our problem. So at Disney came up with, I'll say, the Taj Mahal of design, where we wrap the pipe back around. So there should be on the third page, right? There's only four. We're on page three, right?
The one that has match line in the far right corner, far right hand side?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so what do? The Vizian came up with, let's wrap the pipe all the way back to shore, turn it around, oh, all the way back. Let's put in a pigging station and we can send a pig down there to push all that mud out. Let's pressurize the line. Let's put a washing system on the line and just line this up so that we can wash it, pig it, clean that sucker out. We're going to get this sucker done. Okay? That's this design that you see in front of you right now. It came, the current estimate for that is $1 million.
So how much over? So, like...
The original was $261.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a lot of things to go wrong.
So that sounds like...
So like a million plus 15-20% additional just in case.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So that's not good. We said, okay, we need to think about how serious of improvements are we willing to pay for as a town, right? So they came up with an intermediate idea, which was eliminate the pigging station but keep everything else. Keep the return pipe to shore.
The racetrack.
Keep the racetrack, keep the air actuated valves, keep the washing system.
Is that the top?
We're still on this one.
Just kidding.
Don't use a pig, but you still empty it into a truck. Their estimate for that is $737,000.
Well, that's...
So after receiving those quotes, we got a staff meeting with everybody here, Mike Davies, Dina, Mike Garaka, myself, and Aaron. And we said, okay, we got to get serious about this. We got to be able to afford this project, but we want to make it better. So that said, I'd like to turn the page.
Geez, it looks like the old one.
All right. So what we talked about is, okay, let's go back to the old pipe and simplify the design. Instead of a pipe that necks down to smaller pipes, we keep it all the same size.
Okay.
So it's not so easy to plug. And then... on the end of the pipe in red, we neck the pipe up and we put a removable flange on the outside of the pipe and a dredge later on, if they did break off, they got mud in there, and we need to suck it out, but we could use a dredge, take that off, and run a hose down in there and suck it out.
Maybe you gotta get a vac boat.
I was just gonna say, get a new vac truck, right? Like, this is a twofer.
You know, in talking to Aaron and Anthony today, we also realized we could probably do the same thing on the shore side, and the actual vac truck may be able to do something.
That's funny.
Oh.
That's funny, we would say.
The important element is there's a lot of stuff that's not built. It's just modifying the pipe to allow some kind of vacuum equipment later.
So what's
the cost of that option?
Well, we just came up with that a week ago.
We don't have a cost yet.
I know it's going to be a lot less expensive than where we're at right now.
So let me ask...
Under $500K?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't say yes.
I did. I said yes.
Well,
if it's $260 for one with reduced piping...
Hold on. You guys are like, give me a second to answer the questions here, all right? I believe it's under $500K. However, I'm not the person preparing the cost estimate in Vizian. We haven't shown them this plan yet, but I wanted to kind of get a discussion item with you about how much are we really willing to spend versus the benefit. So we think you achieve a reasonable benefit with using the pipe on the end and possibly adding a similar one on the upstream, so maybe the back truck could do it from the front and a boat could do it from the back, at a lot less cost. However, the 261 I want to caution you on was an August estimate from August of 2020. We have seen massive inflation and problems with pricing of construction equipment and materials since then. So it's not just back trucks. Wood has tripled in cost. Since last summer, wood has tripled in cost. PVC plastic has doubled in cost.
Yep.
Steel has doubled in cost in 6 months. Those cost overruns, by the way, are going to affect your bid on the denitrification project. But they're also affecting this cost estimate too, because we're going to try to build this this summer.
Oh.
So what we're proposing is, if you're agreeable, we're trying to keep the budget under $500,000. And we can direct at Vizian to say we need to keep the construction cost under $500,000. We'd like it to be 261, but I don't think that's achievable with today's inflation on the materials. I don't think 261 is achievable. But the changes that we're proposing from the base design are not anywhere near as radical as these other alternatives. And so the question is, the original CIP budget for this project, total CIP budget, was $500,000. That included engineering and permitting and design and construction. Okay, engineering, permitting, and all that has been like $200,000. So we're over our CIP budget, even if we held the cost at exactly 261, and I think we're going to be north of that, even if you just said, Greg, put in what you had before and just do the bare minimum, okay? I don't think these changes are that much more additional cost. and at least give us the opportunity. We don't have the opportunity right now with the current design. We can't go suck it out. We can't get in the pipe. The only way we can get it, the mud out there, try and disconnect it, pull the pipe off, and do something.
Is that, you mentioned it, but is it feasible or not really feasible?
Is what feasible?
What you just said, pull it out.
I don't think we could pull it apart and get it back together, if that's your question.
Okay, I have several questions.
We're also not clear if there, but the other, we only know some known damage to the diffuser. We don't know if there's any damage to the diffuser because we haven't done that.
So first of all, we're talking about replacing the whole thing.
Yes.
Okay. So a couple of questions. First of all, just so I make sure that I'm understanding this correctly, I'm looking at the last page of your drawings, and you show flow going one direction with on the top and going back the other way on the bottom.
Yeah, the bottom one was when the bottom one is where the pipes are circling back. So we wouldn't have the bottom one in the new design.
Okay, that was confusing. Yes. And then secondly, this was the racetrack coming back. Because I was going to say, it's on Vizian's drawing, so why is it here? Because how could you modify it? Thank you.
I'm the guy with the red pen.
That was, okay, that was confusing to me. So I not, like I said, just so to make sure I understand it. But I'm glad that I was confused, because if I understood that, I'd have been in trouble. So then the other part of it is, we don't have any problems with the uprights getting clogged. It goes down the uprights and then settles in the big pipe.
Right, so they get broken off.
The uprights get broken off?
The uprights get broken off.
Boats, so anchors, all kinds of stuff.
So we had a diver go down, as Kevin knows.
Right. So,
they're missing.
So, have we ever replaced any of those uprights? Or do we just plug them, or do we just leave them?
Well, we didn't realize there were any missing until the diffuser was plugged.
Gotcha.
How many are missing?
So there is going to be a maintenance plan that goes along with the installation. There's got to be some way that we need to monitor that in a more reasonable way. We weren't aware that we needed to monitor it as closely as we do. Now we know that. Okay, so do you think we're powerful? Do you think we are capable of having enough vacuum to suck that from? Does it matter which way you would? It would go up. I mean, you know, you talked about maybe being able to suck it with the back truck over here.
Yeah, so you know, there's limitations on how long your hoses could be and stuff, and we're right at the edge of that limitation from both directions. So,
either way,
okay. So what we're saying is, you probably would cover your bases.
I'm wondering if
and allow access from either side.
I'm wondering if you would build it so it had access from both ends, and then we would find out whether we needed both ends or not.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Perfect.
So it's not very expensive.
Ashley has a few questions.
This is just probably my lack of knowledge on this, but the diffuser heads, are there alternatives to that? Because it seems kind of counterintuitive that they're getting broken off. And is there an alternative to that from, you know, boats and stuff not breaking them off, or something that's a little bit more sustainable?
We looked into that. The difficulties with underwater environment and the corrosion that occurs there. So these are rubber diffusers. And they're designed to break away because we don't want them to boat to hook on and try and rip the diffuser out of the mud or something like that and break the main header. The design worked in that they're breakaway, but no one planned for sediment going backwards through the hole once it broke off.
So could you do like an anti-suction siphon valve inside of there so it doesn't do that?
Right, so that's exactly right. That is an option. So in addition to putting the guys on the end, we could also put something on the little piece of pipe that
the stub
that closes and prevents the top breaks off as that closes. And I don't know where that costs or what that would be yet. I have some ideas.
Some sort of a little flapper valve at that thing.
Yeah, so you have two flapper valves in a row. You break off the top one, the second one's still there, right? Kind of thing. They could do a flapper valve inside of the pipe as well as outside of it.
So is there a way, and you kind of alluded that there's not a way to do this, but would there be a way to rehab, suck the stuff out, replace those that's a little bit less cost effective or cost that's more cost efficient than revamping everything?
Yeah.
Or even taking like just a small section of it, seeing if it works, and if it does, do it for the rest of it.
Right. So the big problem with all this work is all the overhead to go do the work.
Okay.
It's the dredging, it's the permits, it's the of our...
Remember, this is all under, this is all under mud.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
So once we get
I just had to ask the question.
Yeah, and we have a two-week window with the environmental group to get all work done. So showing up and finding out what's not working is
could put it off for another year.
Okay.
However, what we're trying to do is build something that we don't face this problem again, which is we could suck it out and repair those 2-inch pieces rather than have this problem where the mud all went back inside and we can't get the mud out of the pipe, you know, kind of thing.
That's the new design.
That's all versions of the new design, and this is the simplified new design, I'll say, here on the last page.
Okay, so what kind of a mandate are we under on this? I know that we're highly visible for our discharge into Old River because of the proximity to the Delta Mendota and the California Canal and that type of thing. So, what are we under a state deadline of any kind on this?
We are not under a state deadline, but we're not in compliance with our NPDES permit and the board note. Our NPDES permit says we have to have an active diffuser with 32 quarts in it, and we're using like 16.
And they know that.
And they know that.
And okay. So and we're kind of on borrowed time then?
In addition to that, what really tipped off this project, Kevin, was we couldn't pump the proper amount of flow one day out to the river.
Oh. Too much back pressure.
It's plugged up. And that started us, well, what's going on? Kind of thing. And that started this odyssey.
So you're telling me that the outflow could be the limiter to whether or not we could meet capacity of
right now, yeah.
For discharge.
Right. Let's put it this way. If your wife's water flow had gone down from the drought, right? If they were back where they were before,
we'd be backed up.
I'd be calling you every day.
You'd be asking for my plunger because we got a backup. Okay, so understood, but we're kind of on borrowed time too, because the board's.
It isn't just borrowed time. We have a window this summer between September and October 15th where we have to build this.
Okay.
All right. So playtime's over. We've studied, done all this stuff.
Playtime.
I need to get a dollar amount to be comfortable with. And I need to direct the consultant. This is what we're doing.
We want $10. $10.
And get at least these improvements in, and let's go.
Okay.
So basically, it's like, here's the proposal, and you're not allowed to say nay. Right?
No, you can say, Greg, go to the top of the hall, spend $1 million.
No.
No, we're not going to do that, Greg.
No.
We do something a little better than what we had before, which has a reasonable plan of success, but we're still going to be over the CIP budget. I can't get you back on the CIP budget.
Well, that it has to be what it has to be.
Yeah.
So...
my recommendation is this last page, if you guys are comfortable with it, and then that we look into what you just talked about, because it's already talked about.
I would,
which is a second backup if the thing backs up pretty close.
I
think that's a good suggestion, because what's the maintenance on it? We're going to be doing this again in 5 more years if we don't do something like that.
Somebody
then,
is, yeah.
And then once
whether it's you or me or not is a whole other question. But.
Then, by the way,
touché.
Once I know the cost, let's put it away, putting the fittings on the end is a done deal. We have to do that.
Okay.
The extra valve that closes in the middle, there's 32 of those. Remember, these are underwater valves. There's 32 of these.
I did not know that until earlier today, actually.
Once I get a cost on that, if that's reasonable, then we'll just do it.
Okay.
If I go, wow, that's another $100,000, I'll come back to you guys and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
So, do you need any guidance from... or recommend it. Okay,
so I would
be comfortable. Go ahead, Ashley.
I would say, well, do we need a public comment?
Is there any public comment on this, Mike Araka?
Nothing from me, thank you.
Any, is there any other public on the phone that would like to comment? I did hear a couple of beeps. I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity. Okay, go ahead. Would you like to
say,
make a recommendation
make a
from the
motion.
Board?
To move forward with the last option, but also looking into the anti-siphon portion of it.
Okay.
I think that would be the guidance that we would have you bring forward to the board for full vote when you have
the
pricing
price on it.
Together for that. Isn't that correct, Mike?
Yes, because we're still waiting for, can this really be done?
Right. Right. We would like you to move, the
move
committee would like you to move forward with your latest recommendation.
Worked out for that recommendation.
You can
run it. Options. I'll bring it back to the board and vote it out again.
Nobody knows the urgency of it any greater than you do, so we'll leave it at that. And because I'm confident that you understand the urgency, since you just quoted the dates to me, and trust that you'll move within those guidelines.
All right. And I have a meeting set with Disney tomorrow.
Awesome. I just want to add and thank staff for working on this collaboratively, because it was really the input of everybody looking at that original design and that cost that came up with creative ways of looking at alternatives, and it was really a very creative process that could probably going to save the district well over $500,000. So good job
to the staff. Yep, kudos to everybody. Yeah, thank you guys for brainstorming this thing. Thanks for everybody's input, contractors included. And is there any other business? There is no other business on the agenda, so I will.